Now we're ready to move into the fourth chapter of Joshua. And this fourth chapter still deals with the details of the crossing of the Jordan River. In the first verse, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying..." Now, after the people had all passed over, the Lord gives further commands to Joshua, and he tells him how to go about setting up a memorial for this crossing. Verse 2, "Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night." Now these 12 men, one man out of each tribe, a representative of each tribe, were to go over close to where the priest's feet stood firm, and out of the midst of the Jordan River there, take 12 stones. Each man take a stone and carry them and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. And of course, the first camping place was the place called Gilgal, which is about, according to the map, about 4 miles out away from the Jordan River and about midway between the Jordan River and the city of Jericho. These men were allowed to go into the near vicinity of the place where the priest stood with the Ark of the Covenant. As you know, they were to keep a distance. The people in general were to keep a distance from this Ark of the Covenant of about 1,000 feet. But these men could go close to where that Ark was and each one get a stone and were going to carry it out and take it to the place where they would lodge. So they had a pretty good job then of carrying each one a stone. No doubt they got about as large a stone as they could carry so that it would be more noticeable when they set it up for this sign and this memorial. Verse 4, "Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man, and Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribe of the children of Israel." So as we said, he carried out this command of God. He had the men, to each one of the 12, to get one of these stones and carry it on the shoulder. And each stone then would represent one of the tribes of the children of Israel. We have the number 12. And this number 12 is used on many occasions in the Bible to signify completeness or the total number of God's people. Our Savior chose 12 apostles to carry out His work whenever He established the church. And so there must be some significance to this number 12, because it's no accident that it would be used so many times over and over in the Bible. Verse 6, "That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones?" Now, these stones were to be set up at Gilgal, and they're not called a heap, or they're not called a monument or anything. They seem to be called stones, so that they were placed in such a way that you could see each one of the individual stones, no doubt. But one of the purposes of this, so that when the children in times to come would see these stones here, they would be provoked to ask the questions, "What mean you by these stones? Why are these stones here? What's the purpose of these stones?" And then, of course, any time a person is asking a question, and he's asking it with sincerity and honesty, then you have a prime opportunity to teach that person. And so that's what the purpose here was, so that they would ask a question and they could be taught. And so the answer, verse 7, "Then shall you answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." So once the question was asked, then the answer could be given, and the great event which God did for his people could then be told about. And God intended for the future generations to know about this. This was such a very great miracle and proof that God was with the people, and proof that he did have all this power, that he is the all-knowing and all-powerful God, and proof that this was his will for these people to cross over this Jordan River and get into this land and take the land and possess it. He was now fulfilling this long promise that had been given to the forefathers about them having this land of Canaan. And so he intended for them to know about it. And it's well for us to always dwell upon the historical things that God has done, upon the things that God has written in times past, because these things that have happened in times past and that were written about were written for our learning. And God does intend that we today take these examples and these great miracles that happened to his people in the past, and that we remember them, and that we apply them to the same God today as giving him glory, and as understanding that he is still the all-knowing and the all-powerful God, and that he still carries out his promises that he gives to the people, and that he demands just as much of an adherence to his law today as he did then. He's still the same God. And so we can definitely learn by recounting these events that God brought about, learning about them, and giving true reverence and awe and respect to the true God. Well, our time has expired at that point. Until next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.